We're here on the K&M podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, and our wayward son, Nick Roddy, who joins us there. He has graced us with his presence this week. Hello, fellas.
Hello, Nick. Great to hear from you.
Oh, it's two in a row, guys.
Well, we don't count the Friday as two in a row. This is one in a row for you. But we'll get it covered. What a great day to even have a podcast after a resounding Lions victory yesterday over the Tennessee Titans. 52-14. I did call this game. I didn't call the score, but Friday, if you guys remember, I did say this would be a Hendon Hooker game. And this was a Hendon Hooker game. He got a quarter in. So that's how I judge victories by. But we do have some things to go over because there were some things that just were not right during this game. But, fellas, give me your impressions first of what you thought of the game yesterday. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, the one thing that stands out with me is we scored all those points in the first three quarters and then just, you know, put it to bed and let Hendon Hooker come out and play with the big boys there for a quarter. That was number one. And number two, which is not so good on this other side of it, is giving up four quarterback sacks. And I just, that's too many.
Nick?
I mean, it's the result I expected, but not kind of how I expected the result to happen. I mean, I expected there to be a blowout, and I mean, for them to have 52 points and not have 250 yards of offense is pretty incredible. I mean, the special teams were really, really stole the day, and I mean, was definitely carry them to victory. So, I mean, the offense was fine, but it was wild how they scored their points.
Yeah, when you have a passer, Jared Goff getting 85 yards for the game, but he has three touchdowns and it's 12 or 15. That's a weird stat line. And I went back to think about it as the game's going on. And I'm like, he really didn't have a lot of opportunity to get yards because they were in the red zone basically when they started drives. They were 5 for 5 in the red zone. They were in the red zone when they started drives. And with the turnovers and the just bad play from Tennessee, they didn't have to march the field. You know, you had the one long 70-yard run, so there was no passes in there. It just was no opportunity to actually put up yardage. But they put up scores, which was even better. So, Mike, where do we go here on this play?
I agree with you on that, though. Look, it is deceiving because of the you know, how many short, you know, runs they had to put points on the board. That's not a bad thing either, too. I mean, they all three of their units were really quick. That I thought. I don't know if the defense played that, you know, that great. But look, they had four turnovers, and Kirby Joseph. Yeah, I'm reading it here. Kirby Joseph. He's got five interceptions already this year. Five turnovers. So that's they're getting a lot of what they want to get.
Yeah. But like I said, there were some problems, and now we can talk about the problems. Since it was a 52-14 game, everybody thinks, oh, my goodness, they just marched up down the field. They were getting thrown on early, which I am very upset about. Yep. Pass rush was null and void, and something has to be done about that. And you're going into a big game this week, and I hope they make a move this week and don't wait to the deadline. And number three, are we going to talk about Taylor Decker and talk about his play? Or are we just going to pretend like it didn't happen and say the Lions have the best offensive line in the league?
Yeah, I've noticed this, I mean, a couple times so far this year. Taylor Decker, I don't know if I can say he hasn't played well, but there's been some very recognizable plays where he is the guy that letting the team down a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know if it's time catching up with him or what, but it's definitely not the strongest point of the offensive line right now.
Well, are you concerned about it, Mike, or is this just a blip? Now, he did have off-season surgery, had that foot surgery, so you know, maybe he's taking time to get back into it. I don't believe if they thought he was regressing that they would have signed him to that extension. So they must see something that he still has left. Otherwise, you'd just let it play out and move on. So is this just a bad streak from him? You think he might be hurt or something or what?
I don't think it's over for him by any stretch of the imagination. And your comment about him signing a contract, you know, that's a, that's a 3-year extension at big bucks now. It's probably an out after 2 years. You know, nobody seems to get to the finish line with their new contracts. But I think that shows what they feel about him, and I think they still have, you know, and probably and well, you know, well reasoned that they still have thought that he has value on that offensive line.
Well, he better get it together. But I've been saying for years anyway, I thought that eventually he should transition over to right tackle and they should move Penei Sewell to left tackle. And if this continues in the next year, then I think that might be the time to do it because, you know, you got one of the two best offensive tackles in the league and he's playing on the right side. He needs to be playing on the quarterback's blind side.
I mean, he still had one of the key blocks on Jahmyr Gibbs' long touchdown run, so I don't think he's washed by any means.
But, not washed, but he is. You got to admit that Penei Sewell is the best lineman they have.
Well, yeah, maybe the best lineman
National Football. And your best lineman should be on your quarterback's blind side.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, there's pass rushers everywhere.
But you can't see behind your head, and that's why they're always the best tackle plays on the left side, you know, to blind your quarterback's backside. Name me another one.
Well, I'm not going to go through the whole
– Well, because you can't find one. The best tackles play on the left side. That's just the way it's always been since back to Lowe's day, Lovis Brown's day.
I'd like to hear Lomas or Ben Johnson's take on this rather than our take on it. I mean, it might be the way it used to be, but I think football's probably changed a little bit where the plays happen so quickly. They get the ball out so fast. I don't think you need your best tackle at left tackle no matter what. I mean, you kind of scheme around with the personnel you got.
Well, why you have to go through all that when you just put your best guy over there? You don't have to scheme around.
You're changing two players' positions.
Well, true, I mean, you're changing positions for now, but Penei Sewell was always a left tackle until he got here. So it's not like you're changing him out.
He's been a left tackle in how many years?
This is his fourth year. 4 years he's played. But he's played left when Decker's been out. So it's not like he hasn't played it. Anyway, that's something to look forward to. Hopefully Decker will rebound, and we won't have this conversation for a while. But I guarantee you this, when Decker does finally leave, who's playing left tackle?
I wouldn't be so sure about that. We'll see.
Here we go. You know damn well Penei Sewell's moving over as soon as Decker's done.
Yeah,
check the paycheck. That's all you have to do. Who's getting paid, and he's moving over. And the new guy will come in. And hopefully, by the time Decker leaves, which will be, 3 years plus, the young guy, Manu, will be ready to step in. And you think they're going to put him in at left tackle right? He'll play right. He'll come in and play right. If he develops the way they think he will, he'll be the backup. And he'll move to right. Penei will move over to left. It's the right thing to do. But that's for another day. Hopefully, this is just a blip on Taylor Decker's, you know, record. The rest of the line played pretty good yesterday, I thought. I thought they opened up some running lanes, but they didn't have to run a lot. Opened up some running lanes. I thought they protected pretty good, even though he got 4 sacks. I thought the rest of the line did pretty good. What'd you think about the defensive aggression? Remember, Tennessee's defense was ranked high, so we're not talking about a Rudy Pooty defense they were playing.
Yeah. Rudy Pooty?
Rudy Pooty.
I'm going to write that down.
Hey, I tell you one thing. They should have grabbed Arden Key at the end of the game and said, you know, maybe we can grab this guy.
You should stay here?
Yeah, maybe you should come with us, come to this locker room. But they definitely got to get some pass rush. But that, we'll get back to that. What else do you think about the offense then, Nick?
See, there wasn't much to say about the offense. I mean, like you mentioned, 5 for 5 in the red zone. I mean, you look at some of the stat sheet. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown in one of my fantasy leagues. He had 7 yards or something like that and a touchdown. I mean, Sam Laporta was definitely the focal point of the passing game, and it's been a while since you could say that for the offense. So it was good. I mean, there's not much else to say about the offense. They were efficient, and, I mean, still more touchdowns than incompletions. That trend continues.
Do you think that the Sam Laporta stepping up and having a bigger game, even though he only had 48 yards, but he did play a bigger game than usual, is in reference to Jameson Williams not being there, and you think that that's why he hasn't got a lot of balls lately because of the emergence of Jameson Williams, or do you think that when Jameson comes back, you'll be able to? Because, like I said, there's only so much bread you can give out to everybody, so everybody's not eating every week. But I think that LaPorta has bigger games when J-Mo's not in the game.
I'd like to see more of that before make, you know, any judgment like that, Ben, and all due respect. But, you know, whatever they've got, whatever the mix is, it works out. It works on Sunday. And that's that to me, that's all that counts. I don't hear any players complaining or carping about not getting the ball either, though. So that certainly hasn't something that we've heard come from the locker room at all.
I think it has more to do with being National Tight Ends Day, so they wanted to get them involved, and then they started with the play.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And they started with Brock Wright first. Didn't Brock score the first one? He got the first touchdown, and then they moved on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you another unsung hero that nobody talked about until yesterday, but he's always been on the back burner, and I've always thought about him to me, is Khalif Raymond. And Khalif Raymond had a day for the ages yesterday, but the last 2 weeks now he scored touchdowns on the, you know, by the pass game. So I think he's a nice little piece, man. People just overlook him, and people forget he didn't play in that San Francisco game last year in the NFC Championship. Remember, he got hurt, and I thought that was a big loss. You thought, you know, Jonah Jackson was a big loss. I thought Khalif Raymond's loss was just as big.
Yeah, that's one thing about him. He's dependable, he's reliable, and he can make big plays for you. He can make really basically anything you want.
Yeah, and he substitutes getting good for J-Mo when J-Mo's not in there. You know, he's got the speed, he's not as big, and maybe he's not as good. But he's
probably more a part of the offense than J-Mo is.
You think so?
And that's going back a few weeks and even last year. I mean, he gets just as many targets, and you kind of saw that punt return touchdown coming. The Khalil Dorsey had a nice kickoff return, and then Raymond had one that he almost had, and it's like, okay, you know something else is coming, and he wasn't going to be denied on a second punt return for a touchdown. It was, I've never seen a special teams day like that than the one they had yesterday.
And you know, on the one touchdown, the touchdown return, did you guys notice who was in the game at that time?
So it was the defense.
The defense was in the game, right? The starters were in the game. That was rare on a punt return. And the reason why is because it was like fourth and one or whatever. They were worried about them, you know, faking it and going for a first down. Because Alex Anzalone made the key block on that punt return. And at the end of the run, you see Aleem McNeil chasing the last guy down to try to shield him. So that was the unique part of it. He scored a touchdown with the starters in.
Yeah, not even the regular return
team. Yeah, so to set it up with our starters, that's more unique than ever. And didn't they call one back on them too?
Yes.
A 60-yarder later on or something like that. I know it was a long-distance one. They called down back. He was only 15 yards from the record. That's what Dan Campbell said in the post game yesterday. So he had a day for the ages, man. He's a good dude. If you go out to practice, he's one of the guys you want to talk to.
He's almost every day he's the last one off the field. He's got a routine that he goes through and he sticks to it, and look what it's done for him.
Now, what can we say about Jahmyr Gibbs?
Oh,
what can we say about him?
I think he's slightly taken over the load at running back, slightly.
Do you think so? I still think Montgomery is the tempo setter and carries the load. But I think they're finding out more ways to get Gibbs involved, because he only had 11 carries. You know, Montgomery had nine. But what carries they were. But I still don't think they utilize him enough in the passing game.
I mean, what else do you want out of this offense? I mean, my Lord, you can't get everyone the ball 15 times.
No.
You can't say the same thing about Jameson Williams that you say about Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam LaPorta. They're not all going to get the ball. So,
no, I'm talking about the way they get the ball. I'm just talking about Gibbs right now just gets, little dump passes out of the backfield or whatever. They haven't started using him in the passing game where you get the ball down the field to him, and that's coming. I guarantee you that's coming. It's just a matter of when Ben Johnson wants to do it. Then you're really going to see something. When you got him one-on-one with a linebacker, where you got him one-on-one streaking down the sideline. I remember Billy Sims used to run those routes. Mike, you remember that when they used to send him down the sideline? Yeah, when you start running plays like that, I mean, that opens him up even more. So I just think that they have so many weapons, but he, to me, is the Swiss Army knife of the offense, man. He can do it all.
I mean, they just have so much talent. Because I mean, you just look at who's getting the ball each and every week, and you lose a guy this week or one guy doesn't perform as well the next week and someone else just steps up. There are so many guys that they can throw at you and so well-rounded and so diverse.
And they don't complain when they don't get the ball.
No, they don't complain. Yeah,
they don't
absolutely.
Complain. Like, you know, I was watching what's the guy in Houston, Diggs, yesterday before he got hurt. Oh, man, these guys complain all the time about not getting the ball, man. I mean, it's the first quarter. You know, it's just you don't have that on this team. And also, I love the way Gibbs and Montgomery sit next to each other, and they're like twins. I know they got the new nickname of Sonic and whatever the other one is from that game, but it's just they just fit together, man. They like each other. They root for each other. They play with each other, and that's a good tandem right there.
Just one other thing. I don't know if this is any, it's not a big deal, but they had two tight ends catch touchdown passes. You don't see that an awful lot.
Well, like Nick just said, tell him again, Nick. It was what? National what?
National Tight End Day.
Seems
like every broadcaster.
I don't know who the hell started that.
So many times throughout the day.
I know. I don't know who the hell started that.
George Kittle.
Yeah.
I think you started that.
All right. Well, let's do the defense, fellas, since we talked about the good. Even in a 52-14 game, I thought the defense was substandard yesterday. They got worked early for long passes. Didn't get a lot of pressure on a pedestrian quarterback. If it wasn't for the errors they were making, this could have been a whole different game. If they scored right before halftime, this is a whole different game. It's just – and I got to give the defense credit for making a stop there. I do have to give them credit for that, even though they threw four passes on first and one from the, you know, from the one-yard line, which was dumb. But I see the defense regressing as the running game, too. I don't know if you guys are worried about the last couple of weeks. They haven't run for back hasn't run for 100 yards, but they have been getting run on. They got 150 yards ran on them yesterday. The Minnesota game, they ran a little bit. Dallas didn't run because they can't. But are you concerned about that at all, Nick?
I mean, yeah, I'm a little concerned with the defense overall. But I mean, as far as running the ball, you're up so much. You're going to let it off. You're going to let the gas off a little bit. I mean, I don't think they ran the ball that well. The worrisome part for me was Calvin Ridley. I mean, Calvin Ridley was it was like he was the next Randy Moss or Jerry Rice out there for the first half.
And first quarter.
No one seemed to be able to cover him.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, moving forward, when you're facing a better tandem than Mason Rudolph and Calvin Ridley, what's happening? Because I just think whatever they threw at Ridley wasn't working.
Well, I will give you this, though, and if can you agree with me with this, Mike, that the balls they would catch really was catching. There were guys on him. I mean, he was making catches, and it wasn't like they were throwing wide open to him. So I would give him that part. But after the first quarter, he got 100 yards of stuff in the first quarter. He was shut down the rest of the day, basically, even though they were behind and they had to, you know, whatever. I just thought that they adjusted nice. Kirby Joseph got yelled at one time on the touchdown, so maybe Kirby Joseph was freelancing again. We don't know yet. But I thought they adjusted nicely. I just think they got to get that pass rush, man. You can't give Mason Rudolph all that time to throw.
Well, any quarterback, not just Mason Rudolph. But the one thing that surprised me, and you've already mentioned it, was when they had first and goal inside the one-yard line. When I'm talking about the Titans, first and goal inside the one-yard line, and they passed four straight times, four straight plays. I just don't – what sense did that make?
Yeah, and that's a game changer. That's right before halftime. You'd have went in, what would have been, 35-21 if they would have scored. I mean, you still 14 down, but you're not out of it.
I was thinking about it as they were marching down towards, you know, the Lions' end zone and goal line there, that they could really turn this into back-to-back touchdowns and make it, you know, 7-point game. I mean, be in the game. In other words, you get the ball to start the second half, and you know, turn that into a second touchdown, and you got a ball game. But it didn't materialize.
Yeah, the defensive line part. I was looking. I'm still waiting for. Well, I'm not waiting for it anymore. I guess you guys are waiting for it. James Houston. I'm not waiting for him. You guys want to wait for him? That's fine. I'm not waiting for him anymore. That was yesterday. Was an opportunity. He had 19. Snaps yesterday, and he got one pressure, I remember, but it's just not there, man. It's just not there. they got to get some pressure without having to blitz. So I'm on the lookout for a player this week or whatever. Did you like any of the new guys, like Isaiah Thomas or any guy? Did they make any stat line with you or whatever? I didn't notice them. I didn't even notice them out there.
No, nothing to me that stood out. I'll tell you what has stood out, though, in the last couple games is Narofsky, if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's really looks like he might be giving the Lions something more of on the defense than they expected when they signed him.
Yeah, he just needs experience to me. Like, he got juked out of his shoes on the Mason touchdown. That was bad. That's when Kirby got yelled at. I got to go back and look and see why the coach was yelling at Kirby on that play, but something Kirby didn't do. But, he's getting some experience, and he's athletic. He can catch the ball. Also, I thought that Campbell is becoming a force at linebacker, Jack Campbell. I don't know if you guys are watching it or not or looking at his statistics, but I haven't seen him miss tackles. Sure tackler. He goes right. He's like a missile to the ball. He's becoming really good right before your eyes. And the stats may not show it at the end of the season, but he had like 10 tackles yesterday. That's what you want out of your middle linebacker.
Well, Ken, but one thing on the other side of it, the injury to Malcolm Rodriguez, I wonder if he'll be okay to play against the Packers next week.
The way it sounded at the post game, I don't think he's going to play this week because Campbell said it's not season ending, but it's never good when you get, when you can't come back in the game.
Right.
So I don't think they're going to have to find a linebacker. Where's your Wayne State buddy might be available, Mike. I don't think he's on the team now. I have to bring him back.
He's on somebody's practice squad, I think.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could poach a practice squad, but it might be time for him to bring him back. So they might have to go get a linebacker. But they got to get a defensive end first, Roddy. They got to get a defensive end. And I'm putting it out there now. And I only do this on the K&M podcast. I don't do this anywhere else. I think they should go after Michael Parsons. Dallas has got to be in the sale mode. Dallas has got to be in the sale mode. They're not going to put on another big contract. They're already over the cap with the $60 million they're paying that bum quarterback, and they just paid the wide receiver. You think they're going to give $30 million more to Michael Parsons? Or are they going to start the rebuild?
When have you ever seen the Packers give up on a player like that they're already invested in?
I mean, the Cowboys. They're not going to. But they – Jerry has no choice, Mike. That team's in a rebuild. That team is in a rebuild. Signing Michael Parsons was not to help them win one more game. But
sure
you get a couple
that.
First-round picks and some other stuff, that'll help you replenish the squad.
So you're giving up multiple firsts for him?
Yes. For him, I will. I'll give up two for him.
I think you might have to give up more.
Yeah, I might give up two and a player. Or maybe I'll give up two and something else. I'm fine with it. But I know one thing. You plug him in now for the rest of this year, and then you put him and Aiden Hutchinson together next year, you're in business. You are in business. But that's a guy I would go after. There's some other guys out there. If you don't get the big move, I want to get two medium, guys like, Josh Uche or what's the guy, Khalil Mack, or guys like that. You can get a couple of those, Jadavian Clowney's out there. A couple of guys like that or one big move, but you got to make something. And I hope you do it this week because, fellas, we're going to Green Bay this week, and this is a big game. I know every week is the big game, the next big game. This is a big game. You get 2-0 in the division and two road games. You're setting yourself up for success. And plus, Michael, as my quarters go, they're 3-0 in this quarter. They've already got the 3-1 minimum that they said they wanted. Go for 4-0, man, for the quarter.
Can I take a break after that?
Yes, you may.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I hate to say this, but I sort of agree with you.
That hurt, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
That hurt. I know it hurt. I could tell the way it came out of your mouth. That hurt, but this is the time to go for it. Are we all in agreement now that we can do something probably we never would do normally to go for it this year if we have to? Can we all agree
absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely.
I didn't hear Roddy say anything. Mr. Conservative.
I mean, they're not going to make a blockbuster, though. That's not their DNA.
I'm saying, though, would you be opposed to making a blockbuster in this situation?
No, I wouldn't, but I just don't think it's happening.
Okay. Well, it's out there. It's out there. But do something, and I hope you do it this week, like I said, because I was not impressed with our pass rush yesterday, and that's 2 weeks in a row. They really weren't that great in Minnesota. They had a couple of rushes, but they really weren't that great in Minnesota, so let's get that together. All right, fellas, it's Green Bay this week, 4 p.m. Sunday, which is, I guess, the national game for the week. Jordan Love may or may not play. He went out with a groin problem yesterday. They'll look at it otherwise. Malik Willis, ex-Lion wannabe, I don't say a Lion player, ex-person that all the Lions wanted, or Lion fans wanted years ago, is will get the start if Love is out. Mike, big game or just another one on the schedule?
Well, it's not you know, life and death, but I think it's a big game. Maybe bigger for the Packers than it is for the Lions.
Roddy?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's a must win for Green Bay. They'd fall to 0-2 if they lost. It's a home divisional game for them. They didn't look great last week yesterday against the Jags. So
they should have lost. They should have lost yesterday.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's a bigger game for them than it is for the Lions.
Well, I know one thing that I'm putting my money on this week, that the Titans will lose their next game, because evidently, again, after Dallas lost last night, every game after their team plays the Lions, they lose. So Tennessee, you're up next week. And I don't even know who they're playing, but I'm putting my money on the team playing Tennessee. And I suggest you guys do the same.
I'll tell you what, you look it up and tell me, okay? I don't feel like adding
anything. I'm not looking it up. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the Indianapolis Colts, and I don't care if Richardson taps out of that game. Anyway, I'm still betting
the Patriots.
We're going to have a solo podcast about the Jets, because I just love it. Aaron Rodgers taking it on the chin. It's a beautiful thing every week.
You got to mention the Chicago Bears Hail Mary.
Yes. We can mention that too. And you know what? That's a big loss for Chicago. What would it have been? They would have been 5-2, and they end up 4-3, right? Am I right? 4-3 now?
4-3.
And,
yeah.
And that was a big loss for them. But.
Well, Ken, that's after two quarters.
Yeah, after two quarters, 4-3. But yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not impressed with our quarterback. He only had 38 yards until the fourth quarter.
So Caleb Williams,
38 yards to the fourth quarter. Jaden Daniels looks like the better of the two to me.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Looks like the better of the two to me. He's skinny, though. I'm worried if he can hold up. But he looks like the better two. On that last play, did you see the guy, the cornerback, or the safety, whatever, waving to the fans and yelling at him as the play starts?
Yeah.
And then he runs in late. He runs in late and bats the ball to him. Chances of him being on the team by Wednesday?
2%.
2%. I'm surprised I don't see that going through the waiver wire right now. So, but anyway, good for them. Good for the Bears. Good. That's right. Good for the Bears. Good for the Bears. Good for us in Thanksgiving. All right, gentlemen, we'll wrap it up and we'll get our picks in on Friday for Green Bay Detroit. Big North Division game, which might decide something in the long run. Detroit, after losing 21 in a row, as however the number was in Green Bay, Mike, I think they won the last two in Green Bay.
I think they won two or three in a row, and they sent Aaron Rodgers packing on a
right. Note. They sent Aaron Rodgers packing, and I think the only one they lost was the Goff's first year. And they were winning at halftime. I remember Goff was damn near perfect up until halftime, and then they lost that one, and they won the last two. So Goff is 2-1 at Lambeau Field, so we'll see what happens. Roddy, you get ready this week.
I'll be there.
All right. All right, gentlemen, that's the Cannon Podcast for this week. Enjoy the week. And Alex Anzalone will be on at 4:35 Eastern Time on WJR's Mitch Albom Show, and we'll have some other Lions-related stuff going on throughout the week. So stay on the WJR, and you'll hear it all. Thanks, fellas.